Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Our scriptures for today's message. We're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 14 to the verse 18. 2 Chronicles. Okay. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benai, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Can we continue? And he said, "Hearken ye of Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reasons of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Verse 16. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of what? Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." If you are using a hard copy Bible, I want you to underline that, please. Or you can highlight it on your soft copy Bible. "You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord be with you." Verse 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. When all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Hallelujah. Second reading, Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Numbers 13. Good. Let's read from down to be sure. Numbers chapter 13, the verse 27. Good. Let's read from the verse 26. Let's read from verse 26. We read all the way to 30. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to them all and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them." I like that word, Kadesh. "And unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruits of the land." Let's read together verse 27. "And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and what? And this is the fruit of what? Eat." Let's go to verse 28. The most worst statement to make. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwelleth in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the sons of Anak there." One day I'm going to teach on the sons of Anak, or the spirit of Anak. When we talk of sons of Anak, we are talking about giants. You can trace it all back to Genesis, the sons of Anak. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land that which have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now, let's the same paragraph per page. Now, let's look at something funny here. Why didn't they the same people say that the land is flowing with milk and honey, right? And they brought the fruit. Now they said the land. You know, sometimes when people want to discourage you from doing something, they'll find the right story to create the right fear. If indeed the land eats the inhabitants, how could you find Anak, the descendants of Anak and the Amorites over there? And all the people that saw in it are men of great stature. The last verse, verse 33. We ended it. And there we saw the giant and the sons of God, Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And we were in their sight. And so were we in their sight. Last reading. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Today, I've decided to go thoroughly through the Old Testament. You're not already reading from the New Testament, right? So we'll see how we're going to link up to what we are doing. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, pastry, and all. Please help me now. Is it dulcimer? And all kinds of music. Please, can you give me New King James Version? Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The verse 16. Let's continue. I've already given the King James, so let's continue. You want your pastor to say certain things so that people, you know, we are, this message is recorded now. Eh? So you want people to hear your pastor. So, of late, you're reading NLT for my safety. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. However, verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These are our anchor scriptures for today. And we are still on the elements of the subjective faith, today being the part three of it. Well, we're going to look at two other key elements that contribute to the compound faith, which the first one we are going to do is faith is an action word, or faith has a component that calls you to act, and faith is total absolute trust and confidence in God's ability. Hallelujah. Can we pray? Father, we thank you as your word come unto us. We pray that, Lord, your word will settle in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are still on the matter of faith and the matter of our subjective faith. And we want to look into the various compounds that put together the subject faith, which we are supposed to have. And we know that faith is the only object or the only mechanism that gives substance towards the things of the spirit and bring it into reality. Now, we've read some three powerful scriptures where we are going to examine the faith component in the life of people as regards the Old Testament. I decided to go this way so that we can see practicality of what we are talking about today. Today we want to find out about the next component of faith, which we call the action of God, or acting on the word of God. Bible faith goes beyond mental acknowledgement. For the purposes of time, I'm not going to do a recap. I want to ask this more. Bible faith goes beyond mental acknowledgement and believing. It is not enough to believe God. It is not enough to believe God. Now, why am I saying this? We are in times and generations where people believe God. In fact, we have believers in our generation. But our belief do not correlate or relate or correspond to our action. People believe that God is able to save, and yes, sir, they will go to Malam or a fetish priest for power of protection, even in the church. People believe that God is able to open the windows of heaven, like the days of Elijah, where the windows of heaven was opened, and the price of, for example, looking at the situation of our economy. We are believing a miracle like those days, but we see Christians who are cutting corners. Do you get it? We believe that God is able to give us the spirit of excellence. In the book of Daniel chapter 6 verse 3, the Bible says, Daniel was distinguished among all the satraps and governors because an excellent spirit was what? In him. And they were found 10 times better. We believe that there is the grace of God that can come upon an individual, whereby the individual can be very good academically, excellent. The Bible said that when they questioned the disciples or the apostles, they took knowledge that they have been with Jesus, because the rate at which these unlearned guys were able to answer them with boldness and clarity, it means that they have been with somebody who has a better way of educating them. Yet still, we copy in exams. We cheat in exams. I heard the law paper leaked. Faith is not only believing God, but comes with an act. We confess many things in this church, or as Christians, we profess many things, but our action is different from it. I want to help you to let you know that even demons believe that God exists. Mark chapter 1. Give me 11 verse 24. Let me see something. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. These are demons. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou not come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of what? God. This was Jesus dealing with a demon, and the demon confessed that he's God. And the demon believed in the power to cast him out. Even demons recognize the power of God. They know that he is the omnipotent, all powerful. So it is not enough to believe in God and believe in his power. It is not enough. So if you say you are living the life of faith, it comes with an act. It comes with act. We can't continue like this, claiming that we are people of faith, if our belief is different from our confession. May God help us in the name of Jesus. James chapter 2 verse 19. Another thing over there. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Help me with the New King James. I just don't like King James. The devils also believe and not and tremble. You believe there is one God? Yes. You done what? Even the devil also believe and they don't tremble at this. Why am I talking about this today? One of the missing link in our faith life, in the practice of our faith life, one of the missing elements is that Christians believe in God and everything of God, but they don't act upon what they believe. If we are going to live the life of faith, then we have to live by acting on not what we believe. If we believe in Jesus, whatever you know and you have read and you have confessed that Jesus is capable of, act on it. The things of the Spirit, I listen to. The things of the Spirit only breaks into the earth realm when we take actions as instructed or led by what God is saying. One of the things that makes us children of God is being led by the Spirit of God. Our life of faith is practically, and when we say acting, that is an acting thing, it means that you are continuously being influenced by somebody to do what you're supposed to do. Let's go back to our book of 2 Chronicles. Let's do something about it. Verse 20, chapter 20, verse 17. Watch this. This is a king called Jehoshaphat. So I want to establish the word of God, we act on it. This is a king called Jehoshaphat who was being threatened by the most powerful king at that time called Sennacherib. In fact, Sennacherib conquered the entire country surrounding Jerusalem. And to the extent that he even brought the crowns of the kings that he had conquered to tell Jehoshaphat that there's no God that can deliver you from my hand, because all other gods couldn't deliver their people. So I want to give you an evidence that you are doomed. I will finish you. And it's believed that Sennacherib had got, see, he conquered a lot of cities that the armies of those cities totally added up to his army. So the man's army was able to surround the entire Jerusalem. The Bible said, and Jehoshaphat began to what? Shiver. He tore his cloth and went unto them and said, Lord, now let's listen to what I'm saying. You do not have to what? Fight this battle. Position yourself and stand what? Still. And see the salvation of the Lord. This is the most serious advice and counsel I can ever take in my life. Faith cometh by hearing. But faith becomes reality when you act on what God is saying. Do you know what happened? In the realm of the Spirit, the battle was drawn between God and Sennacherib. Jehoshaphat was just a victim of the circumstance. In fact, Jehoshaphat was a bait to get Sennacherib as a reason of the things he had said against God. If you read the previous verses, you find out that King Sennacherib spoke so bad about God that God was angry. So he was looking for ways and means to trap that guy and destroy him. And Jehoshaphat was the bait. So the moment he came after Jehoshaphat, God said, I've gotten this guy. So in the previous verses, God said, for this battle is not yours, it is God. The battle has been drawn. You are just a means of me to get that guy and deal with it. So stand still. Your position in this battle is what? Stand still. The question is, how many people will listen to this? Are you following what I'm trying to say? So the battle has already been fought in the realms of the Spirit where God has defeated Sennacherib. Remember the things of faith. They are in the spirit realm. Faith gives substance to things that has already happened in the spirit realm. So all God needs is that just act what has been done in the spirit on this earth. So Jehoshaphat was just to play a character in this whole hot scene that has happened already. So his job was, guess what? Stand still and position himself. What happened? If you read the preceding verses after this one, if you continue, you'll find out that the following day, all the king did was to line up musicians. And they sang this song. Because he's good and his mercy shall endure. That was the song they sang. What they sang, the Bible said, God sent ambush against each other. Not even a sword was drawn. What am I trying to establish over here? The word of God that came to him was what? Stand still and hold his position. One of the difficult things in the act life of faith is to act on what God has said. Because most of the times, the things that God will say don't make sense. Who goes to battle with quarrels? At forefront, who does that? It is not easy. So if we read the hall of faith, the Bible says that somebody called Abraham was asked to leave the father's house and go onto a land which he doesn't know, and he left. What became of him? He became a man who was identified as the man of faith. If we really want to live the life of faith, one of the things we have to understand is this, that we need to act on what God is saying. Do not, and do you know that this is easy. It is easy for you to do this. It is easy for you to do this when you have heard God, right? And you have seen the unseen, and you have agreed with him. It's easy to act on it. It's easy. So Shirakari, all he needed to do was what? Wait. And see what God will do. My other example that makes it more practical is the book of Numbers. Can we read Numbers, the Numbers chapter 13? Take me to the verse 13. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. Our next example with acting on what God has said or is saying is this scripture. How do this fit into the whole scenario today? Do you remember that God told the people of Israel that I will sell you from the hands of what? Pharaoh, right? I will save you from the hands of Pharaoh, and I will take you to the land that I have promised you. I, the Lord, will take you there. I will send my angels, listen to what I said, to Moses, I will send my angels ahead of you to drive away what? The Jebusites, the Amorites, and all these people, and the land shall be yours. Is that all God said? Is that all God said? But they went there and they saw that the people God said you will drive, they are still there. The people God said I will drive them. So they thought that they were going to meet. But the thing is that it has already happened in the spirit. They need to act on it on this edge. But because there were people without faith, faithless. And remember our introduction to the subject of belief system, you find out that one of the reasons why the people of Israel perished was because they lived a life of disbelief. Because they were faithless people and they didn't understand how the things of the kingdom work, they thought that it is just that they will just walk there. No, God will not do what you're supposed to do. He will not do it for you. So the son is here, the land is wrong with milk and honey, but the sons of Anak are over there. Let me tell you, God will only show his power in the most difficult things. Let me tell you the truth. If you want to know where God really wants to take action, he likes places where people think it is not possible. Anything that you get from God will always have giants around it. And the moment I decided to do this way, and then this person fell sick, and this started happening. Yes. Things of God, the giant always occupied. Do you know that the city Jerusalem was occupied by lepers? Nobody could defeat them. It took David. Not knowing that the city God has called for himself, that will be his city, which is in heaven called Jerusalem, was occupied by lepers. Powerful people. It took war to clear that city. Christians always know that, and the prophecy came. Yes. You think that the prophecy just came for you to sit down and watch it? I tell you, any prophet who gives you a prophecy, I've called you to walk. They thought they were going to see their level. No, the people, you see, the thing is that God does not fight below his level. Let me put it that way. The things of God. This is the whole thing. When they went on the land, they were thinking that they're going to meet people who were their height, their size, and everything. No. Small people don't occupy big things. You want to become the president of Ghana? Be ready for the demons of Ghana. You're not going to fight your village demons. You are going to fight principalities of Ghana. You want to become a billionaire. The spirits that will come after you are not 5 cities, 10 cities spirits. We are talking of $1 billion demons that will change you. Whatever you are designed to become, and you become a great man of God, you think that it is this small boys, malams are crying. No, we are talking of people who are in the highest level of operation come after you. But do you know the truth of the matter? They have already been dealt with in the earth internally. They have all, everything has been dealt with. God just needs you to act on what he's asking you to say. So what God said to Peter is that, march, move forward. Your job is what? Go forward. Your job is to draw the sword and let me do my job. But because these people didn't know this, they said, we can never take it. But look at a man of faith. What is he? He said that we must go up and take possession of what? Tell your friend, we must go up. Anytime God speaks, move. We cannot call ourselves people of faith when we cannot act on what God is saying. Many Christians have missed their breakthroughs as a result of fear to act on God's word. And the reason is simple, because you don't even see in the spirit realm what has happened and didn't agree with the terms, it becomes difficult for you to act on it. That's why I said that men of faith, our fathers of faith, that we celebrate them. Before they talk, they know what they have seen. Let me share something small with you, with the background I come from. In the practice of witchcraft or idolatry, okay, before a priest will come out to make a pronunciation, in fact, from the little I've learned from my father telling me and teaching me, before a fetish priest will come out to make a pronunciation, it takes not less than 48 hours hidden. Sometimes no food, no water. And my father made me know that if there are people who really fast a lot, it is fetish priests. They fast a lot. They make sure that before they come, because the issue is that when you come and you speak and it doesn't work, you have put the nation and the gods into shape. And you beg the question, so they will wait until they hear the gods and see what the gods want them to see before they come to speak. So if you see a fetish priest or somebody who is into those kind of things come out and they start to do those things, they have already practiced it. They've already seen the result. So they don't care whoever is standing in front of them. They can challenge you. Our problem is that we have not even journeyed through the various elements of faith. So when the word comes to us, we don't know that the word has invited. You see, every prophecy invites. According to Apostle John C. Suleiman, every prophecy without a condition is also just an announcement. I pray for you that you have the boldness to act on the word of God. You have the boldness to act on the word of God. Sometimes there are times of your life God will tell you that walk on the sea and meet me. You need to believe him. What happened at the end of this whole scene? Yes, Caleb went and took over the mountains. But the rest of the people who doubted God and didn't take God by his word died in the wilderness. May you not perish because you couldn't believe God and act on his word. So one component of faith is that we act on the word of God. The second example, or the last example I'm going to give in this situation. Okay, I'll come back to that scripture. So now, all we need to do is that whenever God speaks, we act on the word of God. And this is what we call obedience. Obedience. There cannot be the practice of faith without obedience. Acting on the word of God is what? Obedience. A
And when a man becomes diligent in obeying God, he lives a life we call faithfulness. So faithfulness is the culture of what? Practicing what God is telling you to do all day.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Faithfulness. That is the noun form of faith. A man who lives a life of faith and every day practicing what God is telling him or her to do is called a person who is making a life of faithfulness, living a life of faithfulness. In this regard, it is expected of what? Managers. You give me the King James. You make it easy. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Our continuous obedience to what God has said or has told us, regard to the things that we have shown us in the spirit and the things we have seen and what is demanded of us to do. That is, I'm talking of instructions for what God has shown you. See, there's one thing of God telling you something and God telling you what to do something. When God speaks, there are many things that comes with it. Some, there is an encouragement. In the same way, there's an instruction. In the same way, there could be a rebuke. Do not neglect the whole counsel of the word of God. So when God speaks to you, what is the instruction? Now, I'm talking about the instruction aspect of it. The Bible says, for scriptures are profitable for instruction. I'm talking about the aspect of that is where the action is. What were you instructed to do? What have you been doing? Because God wants to lift up some people in life, some of the instructions of the people is that some people will not marry. Paul never married as a result of the begging. You want to see some dimensions of God's glory. You want to bring down certain things from the spirit realm. How do you know the instructions? Have you fulfilled the instructions thereof? I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. So we cannot live a life of faith by ignoring what God is asking us to do. We cannot. We can never live a life of faith by ignoring what the word of God that came to us. We cannot ignore the instruction aspect of it, but cling onto the encouragement and the promises. That's not what that way. So the Bible says it is required of a steward to be found what? Faithful. So faithfulness is a noun of faith where we every day trust and obey. Hallelujah. So we must live a life of faithfulness, which is acting on what God has asked us to do. God told Jehoshaphat, all you need to do is what? Stand still. Do not fight. And when he obeyed, it happened. Most of the things that God will tell you to do is very difficult. But that is the act of faith. Jesus, the Bible said that in his days of flesh, cried unto who was able to what? Save him. So if this is the cup that my father said I should drink, I will therefore drink it. What happened in the book of Philippians chapter 2, the verse 9? It said, therefore God has highly exalted him. The lifting of Jesus was in the obedience to the death of the cross. The cross is not meant to kill you. It is meant to elevate you. The instructions that has come with regards to the things that God wants to do in your life, the things that are stored in the spirit realm for you, the things that God has shown you, the things that he has called you to understand of, the instruction that comes attached to it is not meant to kill you. It is actually meant for you to receive them and elevate you. So we can never take the aspect of out of it. A life of faithfulness, we cannot take it out. And a life of faithfulness is a life where we continuously act on the instructions of God, which is what God is telling us to do. I pray for you that you will fully obey the things that God has asked you to do. The Bible said that for God delights in obedience than sacrifice. For to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. Till we attain the full measure of what God wants us to do, what is installed in the spirit realm will never come down.
Now, why is it so? I asked last week, we were talking about, I said that everything in the spirit has its golden terms, and everything has its legalities in the spirit realm. To bring them on this earth realm, there are certain things we must observe to make them reality. I follow it. The Bible says, when the clouds are full, it's out, empty itself. So there are certain things that God wants to do on this earth realm. There are certain orders, certain procedures, certain instructions you must observe. So we have come fully of these things. Though the thing has been done in the eternal realm, we will not see it in the earth realm. Let me give you a typical example. Now, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Let's read Joshua 6. We are still talking about acting on what God has said as an element of what? Faith. Element of the faith compound. Now, Jericho was what? Straightly, not this prophet. They're talking about the land of Jericho. Was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Now, the reason why they shut the gate of Jericho. Now, let me tell you something. If you read commentaries on this very chapter, you find out that the walls of Jericho was so thick that 9 chariots. You know chariot? Chariot is made up of 4 sets of horses. Is it 4? Yeah, 4. The minimum is 2. But a chariot is 4. Normally 4. I mean 4 horses lined up. Or 2 moving together. They said 9 could run on that wall together. So multiply 4 by 9. How many? 9 for what? Means that 36 horses can be lined on that wall and they'll run. And nobody will cross each other. There was space for them. That's how thick the walls of Jericho was. It was not thick that Rahab could build a house on it. Yeah, so it means that the wall was so thick and so strong that a house could live on it, could stand on it. And so this kind of thing, there is no kind of engineering that can do that in 7 days. I don't know which form of engineering in their days could bring down that kind of wall. If they are gone by their mighty power, it will take them years to break down that wall. Because it took Nebuchadnezzar at least 6 months to bring down the walls of Jerusalem, to break through. And it's not even as thick as Jericho's wall. Let's go to verse 2. Let's see something here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. Is it that thing? He said, I have given it to you. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of what? Valor. Continue. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. I follow. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of rams, horns, and the 7th day ye shall encompass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Let's continue. The verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when that they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of trumpet, all the people shout. Shout. So you see these detailed instructions of war strategy. A war strategy. With a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend out every man straight before him. So I said that this element of faith is instructions. Are you following? This was an instruction, strategic instruction to win a warfare. The condition is that you have to go around the city how many times? 6 times in 6 days, right? So once every day. So you can't do the 6 in 1 day. What am I trying to tell you here? There is a pattern in heaven. So in the teachings of Jesus in prayer, he said that prayer in this manner, as it is in heaven, let it be on what? On earth. The things of the kingdom of God or the things of the spirit only answer to the right pattern on earth here. So when God gives us instructions, we must not come to the instructions fully. If we want to see the glory of God, we must give him the exact pattern to feel comfortable here. If we want to see the things of the spirit come, so the Bible says, how many times should they go around the world? 7 times on the 7th day, but once every day for the 6 days.
What happened? When Joshua and the people of Israel fully observed, faithfully observed what God said, what happened to the walls of Jericho? A wall that was thick and strong and powerful, so much that 9 chariots could run on it, crumble at the shout of men. I don't know how tenderous that voice was, but I know that because men were able to obey the voice of God. So in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the verse when all obedience is full, God shall punish all disobedience. The reason why our enemies are looking so strong and powerful is because we always ignore the small instruction God asks us to do. Sometimes God can wake you up at night, 12 a.m. and say, pray until 3 a.m. But because of our weaknesses, we ignore those instructions, but we say we are living a life of faith. We will not see the glory until we fully observe what God is saying. God is saying, telling me that when our obedience are full, but we live a life of faithfulness, as the Bible says, it is required of a steward that he will be found faithful. But we are faithful, he's also faithful. So till we have fully come to the terms and conditions to want to bring the thing down, we will not see it. God told Abraham that your children will be in captivity for 400 years. You can cry whatever you want to cry. If it is not 400 years, nothing will happen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So our obedience must be full. That is a life of faithfulness. When we are full, God will act. We must learn to follow God fully by acting on what he has told us to do. Let's do this one. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. I want to read this in the Amplified. Do you have the Amplified version there? Numbers chapter 14. Verse 24. It said, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. The only thing that guaranteed Caleb an entrance to us, the land of Canaan, was that he followed God out fully. It's my prayer for you that you will follow God fully, that whatever God has sent for you, you will possess it. See, this thing we are talking about, we are living a life of faith. We must know the things that we need to do. Everything you are believing, are you believing God for riches? Do you know the instructions attached to it? Have you followed it fully? I'm tired of Christians who every day criticize God as if God and then the prophet told me that when I'm 25 years I will do this. The man will have to hear those things, and that the word of God, and then he was a false prophet. Let me tell you, most of the prophecies we receive, 95% are from God. They fail because we never live fully to the instructions. The word of God can fail in your life, but the word of God will not fail. Don't be there and be criticizing God and men of God when you know that you have not lived fully to the instructions of what God has sent you. You slept, you had a dream, you had a vision. I've seen people so that speak so ill about God and the church. And when I listen to it, I ask myself, did they follow fully what was instructed them to do? Because if you have followed fully, you will not miss it. But because sometimes we are in haste, because sometimes we have seen people's testimony, because sometimes we have seen people going ahead of us, we think that we are late. So we decided to take matters into our hands. And when we take matters into our hands and it doesn't work, we come back and we see that God has all failed us. But I pray for you that you become like Caleb. He said he followed me fully, and therefore his descendants will possess the land, including himself. I pray for you that you will learn to obey what God has asked you to do. You will learn to act on the word of God. It's not enough to believe in the prophecy.
It's not enough to receive it. It's not enough to say, I receive it. It goes beyond that. That we will follow the instructions that come along. It's not enough to come with revelation. I'm saying a lot of this is because I've seen we, especially, let me talk about us in this ministry. We have been fortunate enough to have a father who has given everything for us. Yes, to some people still talk as if they don't have what it takes to do what they have to do. Anybody who lives in this mystery and fails, God will never hold that joke responsible. Not even us. Yes. See, there's nobody who can be wasted in this ministry. As long as you are here, you will not be wasted. Sometimes that joke will come. He said, we have been 30 days fasting. We are doing this. We are talking. See, some people, we are going for crusade. As we are talking, there's nothing busy for them this week, but do not come. I see that the Joe just caught up and said, we are going for crusade. Don't know that it is all instructed. When those who go for the crusade come and they start receiving what they should receive as a result of that, you'll be there between that, we are all in this ministry. Are you following the instructions fully? Are you following the instructions fully? We must learn to understand these things and stop criticizing men of God, speaking ill of God. When we know that we are the cause of the whole thing. Every promises of God are yea and amen. But there are instructions and things that we need to live by. Live a life of faithfulness. And when we do that, God will do it for us. Now, the next thing we want to look at is the fifth one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So we've handled four components now of four elements of faith. First of all, we've spoken about hearing God, which is also understanding. The entrance of the word given light and given understanding. Number two, we said that when the understanding comes, it gives us what sight. Because when there is light, the vision is what possible. So we are able to see the unseen things. And the more we see the unseen things, the less desire we have for the things of what? The earth. Now, when we have seen the unseen things, we have to come into agreement with God. That is, we have to come to terms and conditions as to how to bring those unseen things into on earth. And that is an act of what? Relationship with God. How can two walk together unless they agree? So God will always pull you along with him to come to terms with him, to understand things like him, to know how he honors his things. That on that text, you are ready to what? Receive. So I told you that when we are able to come to terms with God, our heavens what? Opens. But when the heavens are open, there are instructions to how to make the open heavens what? A reality in your life. That is what we are doing here. So it is not enough to have an open heavens upon your life. You must know what to follow, instructions to follow, to bring down the things here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see that there can be a season of breakthrough, and everybody is using breakthrough. You alone, you are not getting the question. Are you following the instructions? The next thing we want to look at is absolute confidence in God's ability. Absolute confidence in God's ability. In the element of faith is what we call trust. And in the element of faith is what we call trust. 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 And this trust is not trust in man, trust in God. And how do we define this trust? This trust is defined as this. When you believe that God is able to do and will do. That's trusting God. That's trust. We can never live a life of faith without trusting God. Trust in God is when you believe that God is able, you believe in the ability of God. And that you know that he will, not that he can do, he will. Now let's look at this subject very well. Give me Numbers chapter 23, verse 19.
Let's read together. God is not a man that he ought should not lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said it, he shall out, and he shall out. Shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The total trust in God's ability that he is able to do and he will do. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Many people believe in God that he can do, but they don't believe that God will do. Yes. There are many believers who believe God can do, but do not believe that he will do. Can I prove it to you? We believe in more, all of the miracles in the Bible. Don't we believe? Do we believe it? Hello, do we believe it? But how many of us believe that he will do it in our time? How many of us? How many of us? Many believers believe that God can do, but they don't have confidence that he will do it in their life. Do you know why we always have options? And do you know why we always have options? Do you know why today generation and the believers, we have options? It's because we don't believe that God will do, but we believe that he can do. If I need to obey to me, I owe. No more, you swag. We can never call ourselves as people of faith or living the life of faith, growing in faith, when we have an iota of doubt in God's ability and willingness to do. If we don't have confidence that God will do that, then it means that one way or the other, we acknowledge that God can lie. Let me put this to you. The very moment we don't have the confidence that God is able to do and will do it, we acknowledge that there is a point in life that God can lie. Jesus, Kapila Messiah. The Bible says God is not man. God is not man. Yes. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it may tarry, wait, for it shall come to pass. I will build that spirit of doubt that will make you think that God will not do what he has said about you. Jeremiah chapter 29, the verse 11. He said, I alone know the thought I have about you, not of evil but good, that you are an expected end. There are many believers who are living in times in our life, in our days, that think that God can do. God was able to raise the dead in the days of Peter. God was able to command manna in the days of Moses. Jesus was able to raise to multiply bread in the days of Peter. Oh, we know that the handkerchief or the apron of Peter and Paul was able to raise the dead, but it is no more in our time. That is why we believe that COVID-19 will kill us. That is why we believe that us and all kinds of sickness can kill us, because we know that God will do in those days, but in our time that God is important. So therefore we acknowledge that there are times in our life God can lie. So therefore we have options. So you see Christians who are boastful of the things of the past, but can never have assurance that the things of the past. But the Bible says he's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He changed not. If God could do it in the days of Moses, that when there was darkness in the days of Moses, on the land of Egypt, there was light in Goshen, then let me tell you, we can all be in the same economy, and people will be wallowing in the darkness of the economy, and yet we will be in light. I came here to tell you that God is able to do and is willing to do. My God is able to do. Therefore, I am here to tell you, my God shall supply all your needs. Forget about the economy of Ghana. Forget about whatever is happening.
For God is not man that he should lie, and that is the son of man that he should repent. As he said it, we will do it. We must sanctify. We can never give room for any acknowledgement that God in any time of our life shall ever lie unto us. Then we said in the book of Psalms, many that said that I am dead, and many said that that is no hope for me. But he said, for thou art my son and my help, and the lifter of my head, thou art my shield and my glory, and the lifter of my head. It doesn't matter how far you have been the ground, but be me a capire. The Bible said that tree, but do me a sire, even though it's dead, but at the scent of water, I shall begin to grow. I am here to tell you that God has said it, he will do it. Whatever God has said to a man of God, has shown you in vision, have this confidence in God that he's able and he's capable. It is not time to give up. We know that no matter what, you will come true. We can never live a life of faith without trusting God totally. Absolute. Absolute trusting. So the moment we make room for any doubt that there are times that God can lie, we have already shifted from faith. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Listen to what the Bible said. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Bring my message to an end. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world can. Which God that cannot lie. A hopeless Christian is a Christian who thinks that God will lie. Any Christian who knows that God can never lie lives on hope. And what is faith? But such types of things you will fall. The moment the whole component is taken out of it, see, the moment the whole component is what gives us the absolute trust that God will do it. So no matter how long it takes, we stand firm on our word. Even if we perish, we will stand firm. Today, Christians don't have any conviction in their life because they have no hope. Oh, Malia Sukaya. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Me love Isaiah. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled forever to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So I repeat this to you, that any believer who have an iota of knowledge or who have an iota of belief that God can lie is a believer who is hopeless. Where there is hope, there is an absolute trust. I pray, may your anchor of hope stand still, because our faith is useless when we don't have an absolute trust in God. And what is this absolute trust? This absolute trust is when we believe in God's ability, no matter the outcome we are seeing now. No matter the outcome that we are seeing, we know that God is able and he will do it. God cannot lie. What he has said will come to pass. Even if it fails in my life, God didn't lie. He will do it. And that brings me to our last scripture, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Give me Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Quickly. Daniel chapter. Now, if go to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we are not hurt. We are not. We are not. We are not hurt. So I told you that when somebody is having another option, you are too careful to serve God. You are too careful to take a stand for God. You are too careful. It means that your trust in God is not absolute. You don't have a full trust in God. God is not all that you have. You have options. And our generation is so tempted.
Remember I told you last time that Pastor Connie said something, that the reason why most of the uneducated men of God in quote in Ghana here are doing very well than the ones who are very educated is because the ones who didn't go to school know that they don't have certificate, they don't have anything. The only thing they have is all the grace upon their life. So they put their all into knowing that if they don't put their all and they fail, that is their doom. But those of us who have had the university certificate know that if ministry fails, we can use our certificate. That is why most of these young men who have graduated out of the university are not being fully committed. When God called them that, oh, give your all to ministry, they are too careful. They are thinking about how to survive because they know that without the anointing, they have other options. But as for me, I am not too careful. I'm not too careful. What is certificate? When God is not without certificate, the Bible said that he that builds in vain if the Lord has not built. And the watchman watches in vain if the Lord has not watched over. The Bible said it is in vain to rise up in the morning and work out yourself for the whole day and come back to eat the bread of affliction. For he giveth his beloved rest. I pray for you that you will not be too careful to serve God. Some of us have risked our job to go for camp meeting. I told you when I came to Accra first, when I completed the CCS, I came to Accra first. I was on my own, living on my own. Prince will remember this. I was teaching in Malam. Do you remember? And there was a camp meeting that I need to go and mobilize the people and camp. And the woman told me to choose between the camp or my work. And on that very day, I took an official seat and wrote my resignation letter that day. Leaving to camp meeting mountains and coming back without knowing where I will stay. Oh, you remember that very week now, the guy was there, he threw me out. I'm not too careful. It is not a surprise that I'm researching this right now because I've done it before. See, I've trained myself to eat garri and also eat fried rice. Whatever comes, I welcome it. You are too careful. Listen to what I said. We are not too careful to answer thee in this matter. This matter, if it comes to this matter, that we want to see that God will come and deliver us, we are not careful. We will let you know. Listen to it. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver. Oh. As from the burning furnace, and will deliver, and he what? Have you seen it? He's what? Able and he what? He will. Then not God said that he is able and he will do it. Not that he can do it. We want to let you know that if you threaten us, that you do this to us, there is a God we serve that has the ability to save us and he will do it. But if he refused, verse 18, that is where God even got angry. But if he refused, we have no option. But let it be known to you, knowing that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that has done. But if not, if you decide that you people, I will not come down to save you. We don't have any other option. I pray for you. May you be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that will make this decision. That it doesn't matter the outcome of whatever decision I'm taking. I take this decision because my trust is absolute in God. Some of you, there are seasons that are coming that you've been threatened. There are things that will threaten your life. That if you don't do this, you don't marry this person. That if you don't do this, you don't get this work. Some of you, it is coming, and the attack is coming. That you know that then you are in a hell. You are in hell. Everything is falling apart. You are totally being bent up. But I want to let you know that if you indeed trust God, don't trust only in his ability, but trust that he will do it. And even if he decides not to do it, still trust him that he is the only one who will do it. You have no option. He is the only one who serve. David said, Joshua said unto your people, I give unto you today to choose whom you serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve God. We want to let the world know that we have no any other option. If because I am a Christian, you don't accept me in your way, I choose to leave. If because I decided to serve God and you rule me out, I choose to leave. I know many young ladies whose relationship has broken up because they refuse to sleep with a man. That man may come from a wealthy home, but because you know that you will not bow unto that very God,
and you choose to bear the consequence, I am here to tell you that God is able and he will do it for you.
These are the things that come together to form faith. I heard that some people are already fearing to go to Mankesim with us because they said it killed somebody. We are here, cannot be cattle. Hey. We know whom we serve. He said, I shall order my angels to be in charge of me. You think we walk alone? Eh? Oh. If hers could be taken, I would have died in Sejong. All my 16 years I spent in Sejong, I would have died there. How have you ever seen? You know one of the occupations, cutting of head. But also, is it not something common there? I used to walk under cocoa trees night from school around 7, 8 p.m. Is that a good thing to do? If my head didn't get lost in Sejong, it's my case. God, goodness God. Some people say, if we take a car, hey, we, unless God has signed that accident, we are not dying. If the car somehow stole 10 times, you will come out alive, safe and sound. You see the testimony of Duncan, you can. Wait, sorry. A car which was partly bent, nobody was hurt in it. Let me tell you, when your absolute trust is in God, you know that he's able to do it, and he will do it for you. I pray for you that don't allow the threats of this world let you have an option that the word of God will fill in your life. Sometimes it looks like it will not happen. Sometimes people begin to know, so are you sure God said this? But I want to let you know that if you have absolute trust in God, then that faith will pay off. That faith will pay off. Because what you have seen in the spirit is real. Do not doubt what you had in that vision. Do not doubt that you heard from the man of God. Do not doubt what you saw in that dream. For the vision is there for an appointed time. And when God speaks, he never likes her. For the word of God, they are here and we say amen to it. It will come to pass. Because we know that he that has said it, he is able, he has the ability to do it. For all powers belong unto him, and he has all powers under his feet, and he's able to bring the invisible to visible. He's able to make something out of nothing. So even if there is no way, God will create a way. So I will be able to prophesy to you, every valley in your life will be exalted. Every valley in your life will be exalted. Every crooked path will be made straight. I speak as a prophet of God, under the unction of God, because you have absolute trust in God, many have said there is a casting down, but we have said there is a lifting up, because we know the God we serve. The Bible says, for they that know their God, they shall walk stronger, and they will do exploits. I profess upon your life that as you have come to a conclusion and absolute trust in God, you will walk stronger. The Bible says, the young lions are even shall grow weary and angry, but they that trust in the Lord, and they that wait upon the Lord, and they shall be like the mountain Zion, and they shall never be moved. I am here to tell you, nothing will move you this year, we Messiah. Nothing is moving us, because we know, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that the God we serve, he is able. He is able. I will not fail this paper. Though I answer one question out of four, I will still pass through, because God is able. I prophesy upon your life, and give me incapable, and the God that is able to make her, and do me inside, life out of bones. The Bible says, in the valley of bones, he break upon them, and there was life. Let that bone that is dead, and let it receive life. Be on your feet.
Yes,
hey. We trust God. We trust God. Me, I know. Me, I know. Absolute trust in God. That my ministry is not limited to Ghana yet. I know it with all confidence. I know with all confidence. You see, the reason why we have given ourselves to the ministry of TMI is because we know that no matter what, if God fails to raise that issue, we are not living. Even if God refuses that you not lift him up, we will stay with him. We are not doing try and error. We are not here to do try and error. I want to let you know that until you come to a point where you have absolute trust, where there is not any other option. We didn't go to school because we know that our certificate can get us a job. We went to school for societal status. Because we don't need school for God to raise us up. I completed for 5 years now. I have not worked with my certificate as a business student. All I did, I didn't go education, but I have been teaching. And I even stopped teaching. I'm not now, I work for God fully. I'm not starving. I'm not starving. Do I look like somebody who's starving? Can you lift up your voice and pray? God, help me to put my faith, my trust in you, total trust. Help me to obey you. Help me to live the life of faithfulness. Help me to live the life of faithfulness. Help me, Lord. So we are not careful. We are too careful in this generation. We are too careful in everything we do for God. But we want to say that, Father, Lord, we are no more careful. We know that you are able and you will do it. Absolute trust in you. Absolute trust. 100% trust. 100%. 100%. Oh, Dila Kawasaya. Many people's business will go down the drain. But because our trust is in the Lord, oh, and we are not part of that. Kulenda Bakasaya. Mantuzika. Thank you, Father Jesus.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.